Okay, so as we look at this here, we're looking at the, let me just go back one. The Gilgamesh Epic. Skeptics have used the Gilgamesh Epic as evidence that the Bible's flood account is just one among many ancient legends. I mean, okay, they can say that, or you can see all these flood accounts as evidence of the true biblical flood, which to me is exactly what it is. It's in all these separate parts of the world where they didn't always have communication with another, yet they all have a flood account. To me, it points to the fact that there actually was a flood. Plus, when you look at all the other evidence you see for it, that just backs it up, builds upon that. So, 2,000 years ago, Peter prophesied of scoffers in the end times who will deny the global flood. So, let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3. 2 Peter, that's in the New Testament, towards the book of Revelation. So, 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse 3. 2 Peter 3:3 is what we want. Second Peter chapter 3. Hi there. 2 Peter 3:3. When you get there, say hallelujah. All right. Man, you guys are on it today. Everyone's awake with an extra hour of sleep. I like that. All right, 2 Peter 3:3 says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, again, remember, I'm going to stop right here and tell you, remember, every time people want to deny the Bible, they want to reject what the Bible says and the truth of the Bible. There's a reason behind it. And the reason is that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Or as it's worded right here, as Peter put it, that they will be scoffers walking after their own lusts. They want to fulfill the desires of their own lusts, the desires of the flesh. So that's why they're scoffers. Verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. So they are going to come scoffing that, mocking that there was a biblical flood. This is what the Bible tells us is going to happen. And that's exactly what we see all around us. I mean, people mock the flood. If you say you believe in Noah's flood, then people like will scoff you and laugh at you because you say, oh, well, I believe that the flood was a biblical account and it really happened. And they're going to mock that. Has anybody faced that at all? You mentioned that, yeah, if you talk about it and you say, I believe that the flood actually happened, then they're going to mock you. And they'll say, you actually believe that God, you know, put two of every animal in the ark. Just start laughing at them if they tell you that. And be like, no, that is ridiculous. Who told you that? Some of them, He put seven. Amen. All right. Just mess with them. Okay. All right. So the Gilgamesh Epic is dramatically different from the biblical account. We need to understand that. Gilgamesh is an account of pagan gods who are weak and manlike and competitive. They are dishonest and deceptive. When the god Ea, I think that's how you would say that, tells Utnapishtim about the flood, he instructs him to keep it a secret by deceiving other men. He is to give them the impression that the gods are going to send blessings. See, they've created a god after their own image because that's how men are, right? Because we will lie. We will say things to cover us. And that's exactly what you see happening here. They're telling them that. When the storm comes, the gods are so frightened that they flee to heaven and cower like dogs. That doesn't sound like a God I want to serve. I don't know about you all, but that's not any type of God I want to serve that cowers and flees like dogs. Okay, this is the Gilgamesh Epic. Again, not the Bible. All right, the Gilgamesh Ark is a cube 200 feet square and 6 stories tall, which would have been ridiculously unstable, and the roll factor would have been murderous. So everything in there would have died, okay? Now look, this is when you start getting and you understand the dimensions given of Noah's Ark. It's almost the exact same dimensions or ratio, if I could put it like that, of modern day, you know, ships, monstrous ships, you know, whether they be aircraft carriers or whatever, cruise ships, it's the same type of dimensions. The way that they would have built it, the way it's described in the Bible would have been perfect for it. They didn't need a sail or nothing like that. It just needed to stay upright and not get knocked over or something like that. And the way it was built was perfect for that. Maybe God knew what He was talking about. Maybe, just maybe, it seems to fit. Okay, so this is how Gilgamesh's ark is described, or whatever was supposed to save them. By contrast, Noah's ark described in the Bible was perfectly proportioned for sea travel. Now just look at this picture. I mean, it's just an artist depiction. It's like of clay or Gumby or whatever. You know, that's what it looks like to me. Anybody ever watch Gumby? It had nothing to do with the sermon, but I remember watching Gumby. That's what this looks like. But just think about this. You've got these people, it's like the last peak in the world, and they're holding out right there. Think about that. Think about that. The tragedy of that, that they're going to die. They are going to die. And they're safe inside the ark. That ark's a picture of Christ. Amen. We are safe inside Christ. But those without Christ are going to die. They're going to hell. We can still reach them. We can still get them. Yes, through the power of the gospel. It's not that we are the ones that save them, but you understand what I'm saying. God has chosen to use us to reach people. So yes, we can still get them. And obviously God's the one that saves them, but there's still time. No, the Bible says Noah was a preacher of righteousness for 120 years. He was preaching to a lost world. I believe he preached righteousness. He preached with all he had to win these people. And yet in the end, he only had 7 other people join him. They rejected it. They were scoffers, just like they are today. But Noah still obeyed God and tried to reach them. And that's what we have to do. We have to do the same thing. We've got to try and reach them. The Gilgamesh flood lasts only 6 days and nights. Uh-oh. Let me go back, sorry. All right. As an adopted son of Pharaoh, educated in all the learning of Egypt and Babylon, Moses would have been familiar with these fables, yet there's not a hint of such things in his writings. So why does he go back to Moses? Because Moses was the one that wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. At very least, he compiled it. Some have put forth the hypothesis that Moses wasn't the only one that wrote Genesis, that others wrote it. He compiled it. He was like an editor. There's some good evidence for that, but anyway, however you want to look at it, it's given by inspiration of God, but there it is. Moses knew about all this, and yet he put what God told him. He followed the Lord in that. All right, Shalmaneser's Black Obelisk. This monument depicts 5 foreign kings bringing tribute to the Assyrian monarch. The second series of panels from the top shows King Jehu of northern Israel bowing before Shalmaneser. Look, I'm just telling you because they want to reject and say that what happened in the Bible is false and there's no biblical evidence or there's no historical evidence to it. Well, this is proof otherwise. Again, this should just build our faith more and more in the Word of God, that what the Word of God says fits with what we find in history. And look, even if what the Bible says we don't find it in history, I don't care, I'm believing this. Amen. Because there's been too much of this stuff to prove it over and over and prove all the skeptics wrong every single time. Every time. So I'm just going to stand with the Word of God, and I hope that's what you would do as well. And you know I can count on the Word of God. It is accurate. So here, King Jehu of northern Israel bowing before Shalmaneser. The obelisk resides in the British Museum. There's a picture of it there in the British Museum. The symbols for Assyria's sun god and for Ishtar appear on top of the panels. So there you can see it on the left and on the right. Let me just pull this up here. We'll point it out. So it's right there is one. And if this works, it's not working today. Love electronics. The other one's to the right of that. Anyway, okay. iPhones. Huh, Kiko? Right? It's iPhones. You can't even do this with an Android, so. All right. It's working right here. All right, the king of Assyria stands before Jehu and an attendant is holding an umbrella to shade him. Let me see here. See, this stuff is driving me crazy. It's because I don't know how to use it. That's why. All right, Annie, I'll see if I can keep it going this way. An attendant armed with a sword is beckoning for Jehu's servants to bring the tributes forward. So there's the guard right there, and you see him carrying all the loot. So they're bringing the spoil, the goods, to the king, presenting it before him. Jehu and his servants have beards and are wearing long robes with decorated hems, peaked caps, and pointed shoes. Hey, man, look at that. They got beards. Right there. I like that. Right? How many of you have seen that meme? You know, we got a name for people that don't have beards. Call them women. All right. Amen. I'm not picking on guys without beards. It's okay. All right. But look, it just points to the way that they were, how they were represented. And they do have shorter beards. When you go back and look at the king, let me get to it. You can see he has quite a long beard. If you look right there, he's the one in the front holding the bowl up. But he's got quite a long beard. They have long hair. You can see them with long hair. And here his guard is clean shaven. And you see these men here with short beards and short hair. Just like the Bible says, it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Amen. Just again, just more biblical evidence. I'm just pointing that out of what the Bible says. It's a shame for a man to have long hair. Let me get off. Here's why we never